The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Hello, friends. Welcome. Welcome, dear online global far-flung Sangha. It's good to be back with you today. Special welcome to those of you who slipped in a few minutes late. Nice to see old friends, familiar names, and some of the new names. So today is the fourth of a five-day series on qualities of inner and interpersonal Dharma well-being, wellsprings within us that can help us be at home in ourselves if we come home to the practice. The Buddha taught that practitioners can cultivate these particular kinds of dharmic well-being, flourishing, even in difficult times, by staying with the practice, staying with contentment with the practice. And there are five qualities I'm covering today. Not today, sorry. Five qualities I'm covering this week, though I will be covering five qualities today too, just not the same ones. The five this week are spiritual empowerment, or the four roads to power, the teaching is sometimes called, true beauty, happiness, inner wealth or heart wealth, and freedom. And yesterday we covered happiness. Today we cover that sense of inner wealth, heart wealth, becoming rich in the heart qualities, the forms of Buddhist love. And by way of introducing this topic, I'm going to continue with another little vignette from Queen Jasmine's life, this Buddhist myth or fairy tale that I brought up on Tuesday, and I actually introduced it in Insight Santa Cruz last week. And to summarize so far, she met King Pasenadi when she was a low caste, very poor, daughter of two flower growers out gathering flowers for her family's business in the field. And based on her generosity, her kindness, her confidence, he fell in love with her and, it turns out, lifted her out of obscurity to become his first and most beloved queen. Now, earlier this week, I talked about how she encouraged him to go to the Buddha and thus prevented a very ill-advised large sacrifice of animals. And after this experience, he began to trust her even more, began to trust her and her inclinations, her compassion, a little bit of her wisdom. And perhaps it's after that time that the commentaries don't make it clear. But this story happens when the two of us are in a private moment. I picture them on the balcony of their castle, surveying their realm. It's dusk. That kind of indigo duskiness has settled over the farmland, and you can just see the Himalayan foothills and the peaks of the mountains etched against the sky. It's kind of a romantic moment. And in this moment, the king turns to Jasmine and he asks, "In all of the world, my dear, who do you love the most?" Now, the commentaries say that this question happened from a place of kind of smugness or entitlement, that he lifted her out of poverty and that she must be so grateful and love him above all else because of this. But that's not how I read this. Jasmine, Malika, was dear to his heart. And she turned to him and took both of his hands in hers and held them and looked into his eyes. And he said, "In all the world, beloved husband, it is myself I hold the most dear. It is myself I love the most." Well, the king was a little bit startled by this, one imagines. But he stays with it, and she stays with him, hands still on his. And after pausing for a few moments for him to drink that in, she asks, "And, my love, who is it that you hold most dear? Who do you love the most in all the world?" And upon contemplation, he kind of reluctantly has to agree with her. It's himself that's the center of things. He holds himself most dear. And this conversation, it made an impact. And so the king goes to the Buddha and relays this conversation to him. And the Buddha nods sagely and says, "Yes, Jasmine, Malika is right. Each person holds themselves most dear, holds their life central within themselves. And the significance of that is that this, it's a basis for this profound empathy that all people, all beings are the center of their own lives. Their lives matter so much to them. And that, because of that, this wish to be alive, this wish to be happy, no one should ever harm or kill another." So I tell this story knowing that self-love is kind of sometimes dismissed as New Age psychobabble or a modern add-on to ancient Buddhism, and it isn't. To hold oneself most dear on a conventional level, it's not full awakening by any means. However, it's an assumed easy basis for the profound cultivation of heart and mind. It's the beginning of metta, loving kindness for oneself and all beings, as all, as to all, as to oneself. If this is challenging for you, consider that one of the most beautiful gifts you might be able to offer in your life is to cultivate healthy self-regard, not better than, not worse than, but incomparable. That kind of spiritual assurance flows out to other people, overflows. And lest there be protests in the audience, I want to note that healthy self-regard is something that the Buddha exemplified on a relational level for 45 years of teaching, well after he had penetrated to full awakening, complete, deep insight. So if it's too heavy of a lift, or if it doesn't feel like a good fit, it's okay to start elsewhere. But to consider, no matter how buried, hidden, disguised, twisted, that wish to live, that wish to be happy weaves through us all. And it's the basis, the beginning of a profound empathy. This kind of empathy, the Pali word anukampa, is a spontaneous quivering or movement of the heart, a caring impulse, a wish for non-harming. And it can manifest as helping. Yesterday, I talked about the tale of Sujata and the Buddha, this woman who walked by and noticed the Buddha to be practically starving and fed him out of compassion, kindness, anukampa. The heart qualities, metta, loving kindness, karuna, compassion, appreciative joy, mudita, and upekkha, equanimity, those can all emerge naturally through mindfulness practice, dedicated Buddhist practice. And they can be cultivated directly, as many of you already know, through intentional practices. For many, mindfulness is enough at first, and then it could be skillful to interweave direct cultivation of the heart qualities. This can be through directed attention with phrases, through radiating broadly, or through more receptive forms of noticing, like we did today, noticing in the meditation. They've been covered extensively, these practices, elsewhere, including by Liz Powell earlier this spring. So I'm not really going to go into them. I'm just going to touch on them and how they fit into these wellsprings of well-being for a few minutes. So first to say that the immeasurables, the Brahma Viharas, predated Buddhism. They were considered four facets of Brahma, the ground of all being, the creator in Hinduism. But later, the Buddha operationalized them as practices, and they became known as divine abodes, divine abidings, because they are so sublime and so powerful at the upper reaches of their cultivation. From a Buddhist perspective, these are ways of inclining the mind towards the qualities helpful for liberation. And they can also just arise spontaneously, the expression of an awake, aware heart and mind towards whatever's arising in experience. If you picture clear light, a sunbeam shining through a prism, the awakened awareness is the clear light. When it strikes the prism, it fractures into these different qualities of the rainbow. And these colors are different expressions based on conditions of the world, different expressions of awakeness, awareness, responsivity. So the first, loving kindness, is a baseline friendliness towards self, others, and experience. Compassion is when that same responsive heart's awareness responds to suffering. Appreciative joy is the response, the healthy, awake response, aware response, when others experience good fortune, good things, like celebrating the success of a child or a grandchild or a friend you're rooting for. And then equanimity is the awakened response to that which cannot change. Okayness, space. And finally, gratitude are what some call the fifth Brahma Vihara. And it's kind of a dimension. It's so closely related to this quality of mudita, appreciative joy. Gratitude could be considered inner and outer, directed appreciative joy for our own good fortune and those conditions or people that caused it, even if it's very modest good fortune. It's a very beautiful onward leading quality. So, how is this wealth, inner wealth? Well, in addition to being beautiful in their own right and wonderful experiences to have, ancient commentaries and science kind of document some of the benefits of these. That a person, according to the ancient text, is beloved by humans and animals alike. And this manifests as greater interpersonal harmony, social lubrication, group cohesion, which has been documented in meta-analyses of people practicing heart practices. After just 6 weeks, many people experience more joy and satisfaction in their relationships. Both the ancient texts and science agree that attentional control and concentration improve, immune response improves, and a greater sense of purpose. So, in short, cultivating strong heart qualities, whether through mindfulness or direct practices, nourishes our minds, our emotional lives, and relationships. It's a form of true wealth. And it can culminate, express in a freedom, citta vimutti of the heart, in which no one is better than, worse than, or even equal to. And this is also an enduring understanding that the awakened heart, fully awakened people have. And liberation, that liberation of the heart, is something that I will touch on tomorrow. So, thank you for your kind attention, everyone. I'm going to put in the chat, by the way, that I am offering later this summer a half day on the use of loving kindness as a concentration practice, stability, and samadhi. So, if you're interested, go to my website and look at the teaching schedule there. And that will have a few retreats that are coming up and also this half day for the Sati Center. So, friends, thank you for your kind attention. And your assignment, should you choose to accept it for tomorrow, is to notice any glimmers, moments of kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, gratitude, or equanimity. Thank you.